May be seated. The sermon tonight comes from Romans chapter 12, verse 13. And we'll start the reading there tonight at Romans 12, 13. Contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Pray with me. Father, help us now as we look to understand your word and what it means to practice hospitality. Be glorified as we learn more and more how to operate as your children in this world, that the needs of those around us will be met, that people will look and will put their trust in you, and that you will be glorified as more and more people come to call on your name. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There was a time where being stranded was a great fear. Before cell phones, where you would drive along, and if you were like me, you would oftentimes have a car that wasn't very reliable. You'd be driving back hills, and if you broke down, you could be in a real fix. You would need someone to take care of you. And there have been different times in my life where I've needed someone to take care of me. I was once in a car accident where it was raining and it was freezing and my car went off the road and rolled up onto its side. I had to walk in the freezing rain, literally 4 miles. I get to a man's house and knock on the door. He cracks the door and I ask, "Could I use your phone? I've been in an accident." He looked at me very suspiciously. He left, came back, handed me a cordless phone and shut the door. So there I stood with frozen hair in the freezing rain, miles from my car. When I was done with my conversation, he opened the door, took his phone back, and he shut it again. I walked miles in the freezing rain once again back to my car and waited for my uncles to come rescue me. On the other side of that, when we were looking for a new home and we were looking at the place in Chippewa, I decided to check on the neighbors and see what the neighborhood was like and get their report. I knocked on one neighbor's door. His name's Jim Doyle. He answered the door and I said, "I'm considering the house next door. I wonder if you could tell me about the house in the neighborhood." He said, "Come on in. Do you want a sandwich?" And I said, "Yes." Now, there are ways that we care for people and ways that we meet with people and meet people's needs. Just a week ago, I was driving. I left Rogers Flea Market. I have my hot dog shop friend with me. We pulled out, and as we pulled out, I saw this little old man standing by the edge of the road with his thumb up. And the guy that I was with said, "Oh, no, Micah." But I had to. You know, I see my little old dad standing there, is what I imagine. If my little old dad was standing by the road and had his thumb up, I would hope someone like me would stop and care for him. We have sojourners right across the river. There have been some fathers who have contacted me and said, "I have a son going to Geneva. Would you check in on him and look out for him?" And I have said, "Yes, I will." And the reason being, if it were my son 5 hours away, I would want someone like me or someone like you to look out for them and to care for them. This word hospitality, it's philozeon, and that literally means love of strangers. Some of us are familiar with the idea of Philadelphia, brotherly love or love of a brother. This is the opposite, philoxeno, love of a stranger. That word stranger, it's the sojourner, the person who is a temporary inhabitant or a newcomer, or it can simply be someone who is unfamiliar to you. Now, if you're like me, in the ways that I have raised my children and the ways that I was raised, when you see a stranger, you're supposed to yell, stranger danger, and point at them. We've taught our children to be afraid of strangers. We were taught, I think I was at least, to be afraid of strangers. And I have grown up, and it seems to this day, when someone unfamiliar is walking to me, my stranger danger alarms go off. There was a man across the street in my neighborhood. I saw him there. I saw his grass needed cut, and he didn't have a lawnmower. I was walking across the street. He looked at me like he was ready for me to reach for a gun. This was a year ago. After cutting his grass for a year, Friday he sat down with me on my porch, and we had a conversation. There's a fear, and there's a dread. You and I have a fear, and we have a dread. And the strange thing is, if Christ has told us, and he has, to love the stranger, but we're so scared to do it, where is that fear coming from? Some of us have been hurt by strangers. I'm sure there's a handful of us here that's happened to. And my experience is it's not the stranger that has hurt me primarily. It's the person that I've known the most, the people that I've known the most, that have hurt me the worst. So where is our fear of loving the stranger coming from? When Christ says, go ahead, love the stranger. In our first psalm, we were given the idea in verse 9, 146, 9. The Lord protects the stranger. Does he do that by sending an angel with a flaming sword? Haven't seen it play out that way in my life, but I have seen strangers cared for. I have not been protected that I have noticed. I haven't had a donkey around to tell me if that were the case, that I was protected by an angel with a flaming sword. But I have been protected by other people. I have been cared for by other people. I remember when I was first saved, coming to church in the evening service, and probably about this size, and I sat down on one side of the church, it was bigger than this, by myself, and I heard a family say, Micah! And I looked over and there's this family of four and they were smiling and calling me over and they had me sit with them. They cared for me. They cared for me a lot. They brought me into their home. I was unfamiliar, but they saw that I was alone. And they were reaching out and they were drawing me in. So our call tonight is for you to love the stranger as God has loved you when you were a stranger. How he has invited you in. How he has cared for you. And how he has blessed you. So our first step, number one, and we've been dancing on this for a while now, but our first step is see hospitality as loving the stranger. See hospitality as loving the stranger. Romans 12:9. Let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Romans 12:13, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. And this is fulfilled when we stop shouting stranger danger and we actually love and care for the people that we have not even known. It's not comfortable. It is a scary idea for us, but if we're afraid, why are we afraid? Is it just rejection that we're afraid of? Or are we afraid that the stranger is going to pull a gun? Or the stranger is going to pull a knife? You know, in some of our circumstances, that could happen, depending on where we live and who we invite into our home. But can there be any excuse not to keep God's commandment? Is there an excuse not to do what God says? Is fear an excuse? I remind you of 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. So then again, if we have a spirit of fear, what is its origin? Is it just the old man? Is it a satanic influence in us? Is it a pride in us? Is it just our own desire to be comfortable in all of our settings and all of our situations? In different areas, you know, we barricade ourselves in our houses. We barricade our families as well. We want to protect our families, and we should. But can we do so at the expense of keeping God's command? 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. And in these circumstances, in this command, love for the stranger. Not a spirit of fear or timidity, but a spirit of love, even for, and even as we look here, especially for the stranger. So, see hospitality, and this is true love. Otherwise, it is love and hypocrisy if we will not love the stranger. See hospitality as loving as we've been loved when we were strangers. Number two, see loving the stranger as inseparably connected to loving Christ in obeying Him. See loving the stranger as inseparably connected to loving Christ in obeying Him. Most of us, as fathers, we understand that we feel respected when we're obeyed. We equate love and respect together. If we are not respected, we have a really bad, hard time feeling loved. Well, Christ expressed the same idea. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, this idea of loving the alien or the stranger has been a theme throughout Scripture in Deuteronomy 10:19. So show your love for the alien, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. This is that echo, that reflection of everything we're talking about. We were strangers to God. We were brought out of the land of Egypt. We were brought out of the house of slavery. And we have been loved by Him. And now, as a response, we are to love Him. This is God's commandment in the law. In Malachi 3:5, this idea is put, we could say, in a very harsh way, a very strong way. Malachi 3:5. Then I will draw near to you for judgment. That's a scary situation. God drawing near, we like that in the assembly when he's being gentle with us, he's meeting with us for fellowship. But here, then I will draw near to you for judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorceresses, or the sorcerers. Okay, he's going to judge the sorcerers. We say, right, makes sense, you're supposed to judge the sorcerers. They are in league with demons. We don't like sorcerers, they need undone. Against the sorcerers and against the adulterers. Yes, we understand that. People who break the seventh commandment, they remain in their sin, they have to be judged. We despise that idea. The sorcerers, the adulterers, against all those who swear falsely. We hate it when people swear falsely. You're making an arrangement with us, we're causing a lot to hinge on this. We expect you to tell the truth. If you swear falsely, you are undoing things. Children's friendships break up. When somebody does a pinky swear and they don't keep their pinky swear, things come undone. We hate it when people break their promises or swear falsely. And against those who oppress the wage earner, we hate them too. And those who oppress the widow can't stand that. Those who oppress the orphan can't stand it. And next, and those who turn aside the alien. There's a great burden here. If we are turning aside the stranger and the alien, those who need help, and we see their help, if we're not loving them, we're put in a category with the sorcerers, the adulterers, those who bear false witness, those who hold back the wages that people are due, those who oppress the orphan, those who oppress the widow. In Deuteronomy 23:7, you shall not detest an Edomite, for he is your brother. You shall not detest an Egyptian, because you were an alien in his land. You can't even detest or hate or throw off the unbeliever. Why not? Because you were an unbeliever. If God hadn't called you and drawn you and collected you, if he hadn't made you a part of his fellowship, if he hadn't adopted you, that would be you. Your neighbors who are unbelievers, you would be the same thing. You're not allowed to detest the Egyptian because you were an alien in his land. Romans 12:9, once again, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. And verse 13, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Next, number 3, our third move. See loving the stranger as inseparably connected to loving Christ in serving him. See loving the stranger as inseparably connected to loving Christ in serving him. Matthew 25:37-40. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in? Or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? The king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of these brothers of mine, even to the least of them, you did it to me. Or when you did it to them, you did it to me. And the next passage is explained. When we didn't do it, we didn't do it to him. This is a strange and a striking and a fearful thing. That we would reject Christ when we reject the stranger. If we were to turn a stranger away from our door and not give them what they need, it's the same as, according to Jesus, turning him away. And what do we think it means to turn Christ away? It's a terrible thing. It's a terrifying thing. And think of the idea that Christ didn't have a home. He didn't have a house. When a man came to him and said, teacher, I want to follow you. He said, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Christ went through this life as that stranger, being cared for by others, or sleeping in the fields, or sleeping in the caves. Our next step, number 4. Reflect Christ as you love strangers. Reflect Christ as you love strangers. Now we do what we see Jesus doing. We look at what Christ has done. The scripture tells us in nearly every book in the New Testament that he is our example. Now what did we see Jesus doing? John 5:19, therefore Jesus answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son does also in like manner. So we have the Father accomplishing his will and his purpose in the world. Christ looking to the Father, accomplishing the Father's will and purpose. And now here we are looking to Christ and fulfilling Christ's will and purposes in the world as we see Christ doing it. 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. He loved the Father, he obeyed him. We love the Father, we obey him. We look at Jesus, we see Jesus feeding and caring for people. We saw him feeding the thousands. Now, does this mean I'm going to give you a basket with 2 loaves and I'm going to say, go feed everybody in Eastvale? No, we accomplish what we are able to accomplish with the means that we have been given. The things that we can do, we do these things. The things that we have been blessed with, we pass them on and we share them with others. No longer just looking to our own needs or our own desires or our own comfort, but seeing our lives as more than that. Seeing ourselves as Christians, seeing ourselves as Christ-like, loving like him, doing what he does. We see him feeding the thousands. We see him with his power to heal the sick. Luke 4:40. While the sun was sitting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And laying his hands on each one of them, he was healing them. All right, so we're going to break and we're going to go to the hospital and we're all going to lay hands on people and heal them. Not within our abilities or our dominion, but what is within your dominion? When people are sick, is there some way that you're able to contribute? Is there some way to bless them? You may have opportunities in your own home with a sibling or a parent or a child that is sick. You may have opportunity in your extended family. You may have opportunity in a congregation if a mother's sick or someone else is sick in a home to contribute to the needs. We also will look for those opportunities to care for the stranger when they are sick. What can we do? You see, we looked at Christ and we are reflecting him. We see him doing whatever is in his power also to see people reconciled to the Father. So we do what is in our power to meet people's needs. To see people reconciled to the Father. Titus 2:14. Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. Zealous for good deeds. And this brings us to our fifth step. Love strangers and being committed to their real good. Love strangers and being committed to their real good. So, as we look and see our lives aren't about our comfort only, as we look at others and we see their life isn't just about their comfort either. What do they really need? What do they truly need? And what are we able to supply? John 3:16 shows us this display of real good. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. A commitment there to real good. People being rescued, people being saved. Colossians 1:21. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. So what does this look like for us? We see the stranger, whoever they are, then we ourselves are laying down our own lives, or maybe our lifestyle, maybe our comfort, maybe what we have perceived as our right or our immediate good, laying that down as Christ laid down his life for other people's eternity, to direct them to the Father and saving faith with Christ. So loving people for the gospel's sake, to get them to Christ. When I was visiting with Lois and she had a speech. She was talking to a speech therapist who apparently knows who knows Teresa. And the speech therapist was amazed that Lois came all the way from where she came from to go to Geneva. And the woman asked, "Why would you do that?" Lois's response was, "Maybe God wanted me to, so I would be here to introduce you to his Son." Where he places us and what he does with us. The questions that we are asked, the opportunities that we have to introduce people to his Son. The stranger, the orphan, the widow. Those who need loved. God is the one who cares. He rescues the stranger. How's he going to do that? But with your testimony and with your kindness, with the use of the means that he has given you to do these things. How does he care for the orphan and the widow? Through your testimony, through your kindness, through the means that He has given you to glorify Him. And this brings us to our sixth step. This is pursue hospitality. Pursue hospitality. Romans 12:13, and this is my own translation now. This is a very, very literal translation. To the necessities of the saints, sharing. To the love of the stranger, pursuing. The love of the stranger, pursuing. That word for pursuing here is diaoko. It's the same word from flee youthful lust in 2 Timothy 2:22 to pursue righteousness. It's the idea that we are supposed to chase the opportunity to be hospitable. It is to be a work and an effort that we do. Now, some of us, we'll just sit and we'll wait for the opportunities and we'll come. We'll be like, not sure that was actually an opportunity. And we let it get by us. But we're called upon to chase it and to pursue it. Now, we don't all have the same abilities or opportunities. Some of us were raised and we were taught to do hospitality. Some of us were not. Some of us actually grew up in the setting when somebody pulled in the driveway, the parents say, shut the lights off, hide. Some of us, our mothers may have brought us into the kitchen and showed us actually how to make a meal, how to set a table. These are the ends of the extreme. Some of us were taught to run. Some of us were called to invite. So some of us can do more than others. Our Ben, he's not going to have as many opportunities as those of us who have a house. But God doesn't call us to do more than we are able to do, or more than we can accomplish. Now, a lot of us, we're going to have our excuses. My house isn't that nice. I can't get my house clean enough. I'm not comfortable with other people. As a parent, and those of you who are parents, you know all about excuses, don't you? Yeah. Go get this from the car. I can't. I don't have my shoes on. Put your shoes on and go get it out of the car. I can't do it. My house isn't clean enough. I'm not a good enough cook. I don't have time. Where are our priorities if we don't have time? And your house doesn't have to be spotless. I mean, if you were serving Christ and you invited Jesus in, do you think Jesus walked around with a white glove and wiped your mantle and went, No, it's what we have. And I'll tell you, some of the best hospitality that Leslie and I have experienced was in a house that was a wreck. An absolute wreck. And they probably wouldn't even mind me telling you who it was. This is the kind of people these are, but I'm not going to anyway. But we walked through the house and they took us through and they showed us each floor of their house. And as we walked by, we glanced in the rooms and we're like, can you believe it? They're letting us walk through this wreck. But we were glad. In one way, we were glad to be there. In another way, we were thinking, at least my house isn't this bad. But it also made us think that, you know, maybe we can practice hospitality too. It's the way it is. Now, one of our saints here has described to me the way that their parents practice hospitality. His parents practice hospitality. He said every week on Sabbath, they had a meal prepared in case somebody showed up, and they would pray that somebody would show up that would need a meal. And if I understood him right, he said, and every week they had somebody to feed. We want people here. We want our love to be sincere and not in hypocrisy. We want to model Christ. We want to love Christ by obeying Him. We want to love Christ by serving Him. Here is a way that we can do this. Not in perfection. None of us can pull that off. None of us. Not perfectly, not beautifully, oftentimes. But I have found a little bit of actual love goes a long, long way. So as we think in terms, the little old man by the road, would you want somebody to pick up your dad? If you think in terms of your child traveling miles and being far from home, wouldn't you want someone to take care of your son or your daughter? We looked, and one of the shocking things about Lot, now we look at Lot and we say, oh, at least I've always looked at Lot and said, bad guy. He's a jerk to his uncle. He goes and lives in Sodom. And the rest of chapter 19 that we don't even feel like reading. And yet Lot was called righteous Lot. And the only good thing we ever saw him do was collect those strangers in the gate and bring them into his house. So we look and we see, and as Christ directs us, we love the stranger as God has loved you while you were a stranger. Pray with me. Our God, thank you for speaking clearly to us, even though it goes against our grain. But you do that, and you are about that. You are about making us a peculiar people who love as we have been loved, in affection for you, in obedience, in affection for you, in service, in laying down our lives for others as you have shown us to do. Help us now and help us understand and give us those hearts to pray for the opportunity to be hospitable, to love those that we haven't even known, those who are aliens and strangers to us. And do be glorified as your gospel is spread. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our next psalm is Psalm 30.